Yep, wine cellar, morning wine cellar, audio only. Yes, indeed. Audio only. Morning wine cellar, fuckface.
I'll give you until I finish me cuppa, and I'm fucking thirsty.
Politics is weird and creepy, and now I know lacks even the loosest attachment to anything like reality.
And we recognize mercenaries trying to pimp us out like that little bitch Eminem and his little wannabe thug pansies behind him who aren't real men, who wouldn't take on the globalists like Donald Trump or anybody else.
How do you feel?
I feel amazing. Is this how men feel?
All the time.
Even the ugly ones.
You're very beautiful.
I know.
Why do you smell so good?
Because I don't use deodorant and I only take bubble baths.
Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
Trigger warning. Content note, if you will.
This show is fucked up.
Negroes doing Negro stuff.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
What? Hold up. Try that again.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
Yes, indeed.
This show is so black that Father Teresa makes me get a tan before I go on the show.
You know, I just abuse the whole fucking soundboard at one time because it's just, I like the fucking soundboard.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
That's, I can't fucking stop doing it. All right. But again, trigger warning.
This show is fucked up.
So things that I, want to riff on, want to get to, but, I think Phoenix Kalita should be there. what the hell, Melania Trump says women need evidence if they say they're victims. Got that from Jessica May. And, from Jan Loco, I got, GOP lawmaker rips the microphone away from Democratic candidate's hands during a debate. And, like, there's even, like, a quick screenshot, like, and you could tell it's from a video clip, because it's blurred. You can actually see the fucker's hand like grabbing the microphone away and her reacting. It's a white on white political crisime. Also, Melania Trump, verbatim quote to my understanding from CNN Politics, quote, "I'm the most bullied person in the world." Well, Melania Trump is a white woman, therefore the nigger of the world. Also, want to do with Phoenix Kalita, from the Huffington Fluffington Post, the Huffington Puffington Post. The title of the article of sorts is, "Are You Gay? ? Che Guevara would have sent you to a concentration camp. Enter and Esting." All right. I don't know much about that cat. I think I saw Jay-Z wearing a t-shirt, and I don't know much beyond that. A Kansas Republican vows to send a lesbian Indian Democrat back to the reservation. Get on back there. Now, let's get into that.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
All right, my little jelly beans. Coming off of USA Today, which just gave me a pop-up for, something. And, so off into Kansas, McPublican is under fire. That's that bullshit, right? But when these bullshit. Under fire from who? The partisan opposition? That only opposes you because they're the partisan opposition? They're not under fire. All right, but, you know, that's how you have to journalify today. And this is from William Cummings of USA Today. I get it. William Cummings, bills exist. You got to get that check. You have to write bullshit like they're under fire. So this Kansas Republican is under fire for a social media post in which he called a Democratic congressional candidate, quote, radical socialist kickboxing lesbian Indian. Kickboxing. I don't know. Are they actually a kickboxer? Why is that? Why? And I think my best guess for why kickboxing is bad is because patriarchy. Because you is be cisgendered woman, therefore kickboxing bad, you don't do that. So, quote, radical socialist kickboxing lesbian Indian. And he continued and said, and he predicted she would be, quote, be sent back packing to the reservation, where apparently lesbian Indians are trained to be radical socialist kickboxers. I think the world would be a lot better if there were more cis and trans women of color that were radical socialist kickboxers.
This show is fucked up. Father Teresa's Wine Cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
The individual, the Republican, is Michael Colney, and he holds the elected position of precinct committee man, not committee person, committee man, and committee is a funny word, two M's, two T's, two E's, reminds you of something, doesn't it? And they were referring to Sharice Davids, an openly gay, I haven't heard that language in a while, openly gay Native American lawyer running to unseat Republican Representative Kevin Yoder. And Sharice is an amateur mixed martial arts fighter. Oh shit. Yeah, we need more of them. Yeah. I don't know about the radical socialist part. That might not be true. But Mr. Calney sent the language in a direct Facebook message to an individual named Ann Pritchett. And Ann Pritchett is the president of the Johnson County Democratic Women's North Chapter. And quote, it says, "Little Miss Pritchett, you and I are comrades." Hold up, let me pause that quote. So this nigga beefing with a nigga based off the colloquialism of being a radical socialist, but then calling someone else a comrade, and considering how socialist and communist are used interchangeably in the modern colloquialism, that is be ironified. All right, back to the quote, verbatim quote from the Facebook message. "Little Miss Pritchett, you and I are comrades. Stealth attack on Yoder is going to blow up in your leftist face. The real Republicans will remember what the scum Democrats tried to do to Kavanaugh in November. Your radical socialist kickboxing lesbian Indian will be sent back packing to the reservation." End quote. Screenshots, baby. Oh, now what was left out of that quote, but is in the screenshot posted here on USA Today, is too many exclamation points to count after the word reservation. This motherfucker wildin'. And I will not have links to any of this shit in the show notes because it's 4:10 a.m. now, and ISB got to get to work and whatnot because I'm trying to get that promotion. Because bills exist and ISB need more money dollars. Huh, that's coming in kind of hot, isn't it? I know y'all like them Britney Spears instrumentals. That shit's gangster, nigga. All right. Let's see what the hell's going on here. And Colin Kaepernick, now that I can pronounce his name. At first I was saying Colin Kaepernacky because I didn't get it. And but so Colin Kaepernick files to trademark the image of his head. That's a fair deal. That's a fair deal. Again, like, nigga, you forced to exist in capitalism. Pay a bill, nigga. Right? Get a check, pay a bill. Moving it on forward. Democrats. All right, this coming off of Politico.com. Democrats, the opposition to the McPublicans. All right, the resistance to the Republicans. Senate Democrats accepted an offer Thursday, all right, And that's Thursday, yesterday, October 11th. Right now it's October 12th, 2018, 4:11 a.m. Senate Democrats accepted an offer Thursday from Senate McPublicans to confirm 15 lifetime federal judges in exchange for the ability to go into recess through the midterms, allowing endangered Democrats to campaign. Fair trade. Nigga. And of course, the image for the article on Politico.com at the top of the link is Schmucky Chucky Schumer. It continues, the calculation by Senate Minority Leader Schmucky Chucky and his caucus, his raucous caucus, was simple. The Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, would be able to confirm roughly 15 judges if he kept the Senate in session for the next few weeks anyway. So Democrats okayed an offer to confirm 3 circuit court judges and 12 circuit court judges. Wait, 3 circuit court judges and 12 circuit court judges. Well, nigga, just say 15. As the price to pay to go home for election season. Under the Senate rules, if the Democrats fought the nominees tooth and nail and forced the Senate to burn 30 hours of debate between each one, Mr. McConnell would have gotten them all confirmed by November 1st. The Democrats could have convincibly left a skeleton crew of senators in Washington to force off the GOP to take roll call votes on the judges over the next few weeks. Although the tactic is not typically employed by the minority. There's no snark in there. The snark is in the fact that the facts are facts. And this article up on Politico.com by Burgess Everett. Fun, very fun stuff. Continuing just a wee bitty bit more. Senator John Tester, a Democrat of Montana, deadpanned that he was tickled pink that he could go home and campaign in Montana, where his race against an individual named Matt Rosendale is tightening. Quote, "If we stayed here for 2 or 3 weeks, we'd probably have done the same thing. I think it's good," end quote. The Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth I Love What Markets Can Do Warren told the caucus, the raucous caucus, that she opposed the deal. The lone Democrat to voice displeasure, according to a person briefed on the meeting. Yes, indeed, neighbor. All right. Now, One more here. For the most part, white on white misogyny, but I do, let's keep it greasy on the overall misogyny of these father muckers, the misogynoir and all that business. 34-second clip here. What is this? And this is on the Idaho Statesman, very local-fied. Matter of fact, who did I, I shared this from an individual, I think their name is pronounced Mukade, on the Facebooks.
And you want to talk about disrespect in the room? I should play back that conversation for you. Accusing me of being a liar, accusing me of not honoring my commitment to me.
So this appears to be a short white man looking up to someone that they are displeased with because they're accusing him of being a liar and just making all these accusations and whatnot. I'm just a bald-headed white man that don't have a whole lot of hot privilege.
Honoring my commitment to be in a meeting. Abortion is murder. I stand against it. I am a Roman Catholic.
Abortion is murder. He stands against it. He is a Roman Catholic. He ain't gonna be having that bullshit here.
I am a Roman Catholic. I'm a conservative Republican. I think what you guys do stinks.
That is yours. He's a Roman Catholic, a conservative Republican, and he thinks what you guys do stinks. And then he fucking, like, he very, very dramatically does a turnaround. It is a fantastic dramatic turnaround. I'm gonna go ahead and post this to my personal FaceBooze page so that folks can, if you want to, you can go to facebook.com/wine, let me make sure I have that right. Facebook.com/wine cellar podcast. That'll take you to the William J. Jackson page, and I'll go ahead and have this posted from the podcast so that you folks can look at this video and see that swift turnaround. Like, that was worthy of being a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race. That's out. That was an outstanding turnaround.
I do stinks.
That is your choice.
You're damn right it's my choice.
In the personal division, that's your choice. You damn right it's my choice. And he does the fucking white man angry finger. But like, it's like the equal opposite of the Bernie Sanders white man angry finger. Because you damn right. You goddamn right, motherfucker.
You're damn right it's my choice, so stay out of my office.
You shouldn't make it other people.
Next time you walk in my office, you're going to do what I have to
do. Stay out of his office, motherfucker. And this individual is a McPublican lieutenant governor, and this happened on Tuesday, but he softened his stance that women who get an abortion should be punished if it is ever criminalized in Idaho, a day after saying the punishment should include the death penalty. Hey, so he's got a little nuance there on him, doesn't he? quote, prosecutions have always been focused on the abortionist, said Bob. This nigga's name is Nonini. I shit you not. N-O-N-I-N-I. Bob Nonini. Well, listen here, Mr. Nonini. And he continues, there is no way a woman would go to jail, let alone face the death penalty. The statute alone, the threat of prosecution, would dramatically reduce abortion. That is my goal. So, Bob Nonini first raised eyebrows on the divisive social issue.
The divisive social issue?
Nigga, that shit is not a motherfucking divisive social issue. That's just fucking patriarchy and misogyny. Alright, like, people are not divided on that. Oppressors want it, and the oppressed don't want it. Nigga, even if you like, they leave McBortion alone and let the cis women and trans men and, you know, queer folk and all and whatnot, let all them niggas have abortions, there's still gonna be oppression. So it's not like people are gonna be like, oh man, we're very divided. The division is in the hierarchy. The division is in the caste system. continuing with the article on the Idaho Statesman. So he first raised eyebrows on the divisive social issue during a Monday candidate forum in Moscow, hosted by conservative Christian podcast Cross Politic. Oh, Jesus. I think I might have some new entertainment. All right, so there's a conservative Christian podcast called Cross Politic, all one word. And he says, quote, there should be no abortion, and anyone who has an abortion should pay, end quote. Now, pressed by the moderators on the nature of the punishment, Bob Nonini nodded in agreement when, how the fuck do you nod in agreement on a podcast? It's audio, nigga. Stop calling videos podcasts. That's why we would differentiate, right? We say Facebook Live to YouTube video, and then we say, and also podcast audio. You don't nod in agreement on a podcast. No one can see you through their headphones, motherfucker. And so he nodded in agreement on a podcast when asked if he supported the death penalty as a possible outcome for abortion. Bob Nonini and is a three-term state senator from I don't do well with these Frenchified words. It's D apostrophe Aline. Cor de Aline? De Elena? Nini from Elena. So, Nonini from Elaine confirmed the position in a phone interview with the Associated Press.
What?
Excuse? However, several hours later, Bob Nonini from Elaine issued a statement seeking to take back his strict stance. Quote, I strongly support the overturning of Roe versus Wade. That would allow states like Idaho to recriminalize abortion as a deterrent. However, it is my understanding that in the history of the United States, long before Roe was foisted upon this country, no woman has ever been prosecuted for undergoing abortion. That is for practical reasons as well as for reasons of compassion. I think way back, way back when the Wine Cellar podcast was just blog talk radio telephone type of audio, very low quality, low fidelity, low megahertz. We covered that deal with the where it's like if you have a miscarriage in with motherfuckers like Mississippi and Tennessee. I use Mississippi and Tennessee interchangeably. All right. And like a woman that cis woman, or you know the whole deal, like a woman that has a chemical dependency to drugs, has a miscarriage, then she goes to fucking jail for that shit. So because they see all that shit as abortion and this sort of patriarchal misogyny. So yeah, prosecuted for it. Welcome to it, Nonini. It is be happening. just a little bit more from this article on the Idaho Statesman website. A handful of anti-abortion advocates have begun increasing their call for stricter penalties for women and providers. Right? So the only men that get in trouble are men who are providers, enablers of these dirty, dirty baby-killing women. So prosecute the women and the enable-fying men, folk. Last year, some people who call themselves Abolish Abortion Idaho, they launched a ballot initiative seeking to charge both abortion providers and women with first-degree murder. But it is unclear if the group will have enough signatures to make it on the ballot in November. Meanwhile, Republican State Senator Dan Foreman attempted to introduce legislation that would also classify abortion as first-degree murder for mothers and doctors, but the proposal never received a hearing. And one more quote from an individual named McGeechan. And McGeechan said, no, I cannot support a woman facing the death penalty for having an abortion. What we should do is prevent that. Now they're saying not the death penalty in the context of Anglo-American jurisprudence. But, nah, I think they'd be down with street justice, if you will. All right. Very quick, very fast, very short morning wine cellar. I've got to get the heck out of here and go get on shift. I'm not even in my machine room today. I'm on a fucking line. So basically, I will be putting boxes on top of boxes for 8 hours, bored out of my fucking skull. I think at the top of it, I might go in with the Bluetooth headphones and maybe listen to, I don't know, maybe like a Christian podcast. Maybe. I'm not sure. That might happen. Maybe a Christian podcast called Cross Politic. I don't know. That might happen. And then I think after, because the supervisors come down a lot early in the day, and then after the first break, I might come back with the headphone with the cord, because the Bluetooth headphone battery, it be dying. Like, that battery gets about 2.5 hours of action, and then it dies and needs to charge for, like, over an hour. You know, so I might come back with the headphones with a cord so that I'm not too goddamn bored. Right? Right. Okay. And thanks to the motherfuckers, right? Because we need that shit. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Drop a one-time hit on us. Or Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. It's official. Like, I'm done trying to do it. Where we try to do paywall shit. And I always back out of it. I just can't do the paywall. I want everybody to have access to everything. You know, even if we only post it to Patreon and don't put it on the regular podcast RSS feed, it's still going to be public. And people came through to the patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. There's that nigga Matthew Finn up in the joint. That nigga Kyle. KDB over there in the joint. Them niggas from Struggle Session popping off in the joint. That nigga Linda came through. Yeah, man. Like, motherfuckers, man. On the old Wine Cellar Media. Janine, Ian, Avery Loco. I think Avery Loco been there for a long ass time. And then, you know, once you get past, like, some of these folks, like, Swamp Commie and the Drone coming through. Yeah, man. Niggas is coming through, man. It's fucking dope. Chris M. You know, yeah, man. We need you, motherfuckers. Especially with Phoenix Kalita. Putting in the old 2 weeks notice there. You know, Phoenix Kalita will be at it full time. Phoenix Kalita mostly opinion, essay writing, very good, insightful shit. And doing the Wine Cellar After Dark, the sex education podcast, right? The Wine Cellar After Dark, the sex education podcast. Can you dig it? Where she'll be saying very interesting things and having interesting conversations.
You're very beautiful.
I know.
Why do you smell so good?
Because I don't use deodorant and I only take bubble baths.
Politics is weird and creepy. And now I know lacks even the loosest attachment to anything like reality.
How do you feel?
I feel amazing. Is this how men feel?
All the time.
Even the ugly ones.
I'll give you until I finish my cuppa. And I'm fucking thirsty.
Father Teresa's Wine Cellar is rated R for keeping it real.